You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Hi again, and welcome back to the Weekly Leader Training for the Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. On this episode, we're talking about Unit 20, Session 1, Jesus' Baptism. And Karen, I'm going to pause right there and let everybody know, it is always hard for me to say Jesus. The possessive of Jesus is hard for me. I start to slur a bunch of S's together.
Yeah, you have to really enunciate. That is our leader training for this week, is enunciate.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And we need to rename these differently for next cycle,
yeah.
I think.
For
we can
sure.
just use the clunky, the baptism
yeah,
of Jesus.
The baptism of Jesus, yeah. It sounds like, I don't know, a snobbier that way too.
It does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do that. Like when I preach or teach in public, I really try to avoid the possessive S sound because I'm just... And it gets in my head. There's a lot of things in my head. Okay, on with it.
All right, yeah.
So, Karen, why don't you launch us, and what is the big idea of this session? And once again, it's pretty much on the nose.
But I was going to say,
if anybody needs to understand
I think you're trying to trip me up into mispronouncing Jesus' baptism. No, but we're at the
you're
start
such a
of Jesus.
Off.
I know, yeah. And I have such a great Southern accent to just really enunciate with. So, yeah. But yeah, we're at the start of Jesus' ministry. And he was baptized by John, and God acknowledged his sonship before all the others, before the others that were watching. So, yeah.
Yeah, really big event. This marks the beginning of what we can think of as Jesus's ministry proper. From this point forward, that's what we're going to be seeing in the gospel narrative. So really big, important, and as we're going to talk about in a minute, some key ideas that mm-hmm. we're going to interact with here. So let's get into it. Let's talk about some areas needing caution or extra prep time, and I'll start.
Yeah.
And it's the big idea of why was Jesus baptized? And this is a source of many different discussions, mm-hmm. Debating even. I think it's easier to say why he was not baptized first. And we know he was not baptized because of repentance of sin, mm-hmm. because he had no sin. So when we think of baptism, that's what we think of. We think, hey, it's a public declaration of our faith, our trust in Jesus, to provide the sin payment for our sins. And that's true, right, and fitting, but we can't carry that over to Jesus because he had no sin. Mm-hmm. So that we can be clear about, and I would encourage teachers to be clear about that with the kids if this subject comes up or as you're talking about it. So why was he then? That still kind of stands out there. If he had no sin, he wouldn't have been baptizing. A few ideas. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those things, Karen, I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's they're kind of all working together.
Yeah, it's so funny. I forgot about that we were recording this particular episode today. And just this weekend, I was talking with some friends, the husband's in seminary, and we were talking about different views of baptism. And we actually got into this, and we're like, not quite sure that we are 100% on any one.
I don't think we have to be.
Yeah, for sure.
So the first one is there's this belief that Jesus was baptized to affirm John's ministry. Now, the reasoning behind this is that John was the forerunner, and his ministry was vital. That's why Jesus said, of all mm-hmm. the people born, of all the men born, John was the most important, kind of eyeballing his vital ministry to hand off to Jesus and pave the way. And so Jesus being baptized validates John's ministry, which in turn validates Jesus' ministry that he's about to begin.
Yeah.
The second idea is that this was Jesus being baptized in obedience to God to mm-hmm. identify with sinners.
Yeah.
We know in Hebrews we read that we don't have a high priest that cannot sympathize with us. He can sympathize with us in all ways of temptation, only he was without sin. So some people believe that this was one of the ways that Jesus identifies with us, we being sinners, him not being. The third idea is that Jesus did this to fulfill all the demands of a disciple. Mm-hmm. So he goes before us and sets the example, and being baptized, of course, would be one of the things that all disciples should do. And then the fourth was to obey the Father. In other words, to maintain perfect righteousness mm-hmm. so that nobody could look at his ministry and say, well, you know, you say Jesus was perfectly righteous, but look, he was not baptized. Mm-hmm. So again, I don't think it has to be one of those. I think it can be a mixture.
Yeah.
And I think somebody could even be a little bit uncomfortable with one of them and kind of push back or even reject it to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's somewhere in that area again, but we know it was not because of sin.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and a big idea with kids is Jesus was baptized.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where we talk about what excites me about this is it gives us an opportunity to talk about baptism with kids.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
But before we get to there, what other concerns or areas of caution or anything that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, well, I want to use these ministry training sessions as an opportunity to even kind of help leaders see like where we were coming from and choosing our key passages and big picture questions. So I just want to address those, you know, at the beginning of each unit. And so this is the beginning of Unit 20. And for our key passage, we chose and I just realized I didn't write the reference down, but the verse says that Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. And it's kind of like, I think, a little bit of a conceptual concept, but it's short and simple, but there's so much there. But the idea is just helping kids to see that Jesus is most important, you know, that he gets bigger and I get smaller. And I loved, as we were talking about it as a team, one of our editors has like a three-year-old, and she said, I feel pretty good about my three-year-old running around saying he must increase but I must decrease. And so, you know, we thought that was just a really great concept for, you know, to go ahead and lay that foundation of humility and Jesus is most important. So,
yeah, and of course that is referring to John.
Thank you.
Was the one who said that. And this is one of those verses that my kids will throw out against me and use against me in devious ways. Talk about how I need to decrease.
Oh, gotcha.
Dad, well, you're too loud. Decrease. That's how it works in my house.
They may be misapplying that verse, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But also wanted to just address the big picture question. We went with, why did Jesus become human? Very appropriate here. And that he became human to rescue sinners. So again, trying to get that concept, helping them understand that Jesus is God, but he became human. Again, it's a mystery, but it's we want to leave room for that.
Yeah, and that's one. Let me just jump in just for a minute, because this is another big idea, big theological kind of idea. When you're talking about this with kids, what you want to make sure you protect is that Jesus was 100% God.
Mm-hmm.
He was fully God. He did not diminish his divine nature at all by coming to earth. And he was 100% human. Mm-hmm. He was not subhuman. He was not partial human. He was not some weird mixture of those two.
Mm-hmm.
And the math does not hold for us. This is why there is this kind of tension here. But we are on safe ground when we continue to help our kids see and begin to understand more fully that Jesus is fully God and fully man without mixture or compromise of those two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of the big idea there. If you really want to impress your kids, it's called the hypostatic union.
Oh, awesome.
So just throw that at them.
Please
and,
use that in your toddler's classes.
Yeah. Billy, what did you learn about today? The hypostatic union.
Yeah, there you go. If you could just get them to repeat that, you've done your work to their children, to their parents when they pick them up. Yeah.
Nice.
but yeah, I also want to just like, being the preschool editor, I really want to kind of highlight some preschool activities and kind of, you know, talk about the why behind them. One thing we have in the preschool leader guide this week is a Bible bookmark activity. And I just want to encourage you to do that. We all want preschoolers to understand that the Bible is a book for them. So, you know, yeah, they really can't read much of anything except maybe some of your precocious kindergartners. But we want to get them used to like at least holding the Bible. And if they have a bookmark and even to bring their Bible, I think that would be amazing for your preschoolers to bring their Bible with them to church. And then just to start hearing and seeing names of Bible books is just so important. So laying those foundations for biblical, Bible skills early.
Definitely.
Yeah. Another thing I noticed is we have an activity this week where they're going to look at books about airplanes that goes along with the missions activity. And I know that sometimes you may not have like a lot of options in your own like church library or what you just have in your preschool classrooms. And I just want to encourage you to take advantage of your local library. I know that here in Asheville, it's really easy to just look up books online and put them on hold. And then I literally just walk in and grab them off a shelf and take them. Of course, you want to be careful with them. you don't want your kids like ripping apart the library books, but and also you always want to preview anything you bring into the classroom, make sure it doesn't have any inappropriate, you know, pictures or words, and make sure it supports a biblical worldview.
Definitely.
But just, you know, you really want to provide activities for these reflective learners who, you know, like to sit quietly and flip through books. And so, yeah, I wanted to encourage you to do that. One other quick thing, too, is if you want to go ahead and look ahead to session three, there's an activity where the kids will be assembling travel kits for mission trips. And so this is a way that you can involve families. You can contact them earlier and ask them to bring items for that. So also help your church budget. So,
Karen, that's a really good tip, and I just want to echo that for all age groups, because we will often have things like that in the kids, younger kids and older kids as well, where we're encouraging you to think about collecting something to give to missions. We don't do it all the time, but we'll do it from here and now. And so I think that's a really good rhythm for our leaders to develop, is to thumb through all of the sessions, at least in a unit, and look for things like that and make a note of it so it doesn't sneak up on you.
Yeah.
And you can do preparation ahead of time.
Yeah. And you don't always have to do them, but I really would encourage you to make time to do them, you know, every once in a while. You know, it's so valuable. It gives parents just an easy win to take their kids, like, to the Walmart or wherever and buy some things, and they're thinking about missionaries while they're doing it.
There is nothing easy about going to Walmart. All right. So... let's move on then. Is there anything else that you
thought
of?
Okay.
Let's then talk about what we're excited about God potentially doing through this session. Karen, is there anything that kind of stands out to you?
Yeah, I really love just the opportunity for kids to just see, you know, Jesus be baptized. And I think it's so valuable, you know, for if you... you know, preschoolers and children. I know that our church does family worship Sundays sometimes, but where they can actually, you know, see someone be baptized and then connect that thing that they saw in the worship gathering with this Bible story that, you know, wow, Jesus was baptized too. And for preschoolers, like, one day I'll get baptized. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, let me just speak to any ministry leaders who may be listening. Mm-hmm. If you, like, I know we do this in our church, the rhythm is when somebody's baptized, they will bring the kids in.
That's awesome.
And I think that is so important. And so if you're a ministry leader and if your kids never are able to see baptisms because of scheduling, I would really encourage you to think through this, pray through this, and talk through this with your other leaders, your other team, your lead pastor, and so forth, and see, is there a way to do this? And I know it can be complicated for many different contexts, so there could be one that just simply can't happen.
Yeah.
There's security concerns you have to be aware of and so forth, but I think there are many churches out there that probably are not taking advantage of the word picture that baptism is. That's why God has us do it.
Yeah.
It's a word picture that really can speak to kids.
Yeah. And you want kids to grow up seeing themselves as valuable members of the body. And, you know, you really... it's something I'm passionate about, that to not exclude them from these ordinances.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I share that as I kind of intimated earlier, this is a great opportunity for you to talk about baptism. I know right now my oldest son has been baptized. My daughter has trusted in Christ, but she is timid about being baptized. And so we're trying to walk that fine line of encouraging without pushing. And now my youngest son, we believe he has trusted in Christ.
Oh, wow.
And so he is now, it's kind of cool because now my daughter feels pressure. She does not want her younger brother to be baptized. So anyway, it's a discussion that we have in the home. So this is a great opportunity for this discussion to hit the radar in class and in home. So be praying about that in advance and look for that. Mm-hmm. The other thing I'm excited about is that this, especially for older kids, this is a great passage to show them the Trinity. The Trinity, that term is not in Scripture, but we know the idea runs throughout Scripture. And this is one of the places where we see it clearly, because you see the Son being baptized as the Father speaks and the Spirit descends.
Mm-hmm.
So three distinct actions affirming God is one in three persons, not the same person modalism acting in different places and different times. Mm-hmm. So this is a great way, especially if you have older kids. You're thinking about the St. Patrick's thing on Lutheran satire right now, aren't you, Karen?
Yeah.
I could see your eyes light up. I was thinking about it, too. If you're not familiar with that, go online, find Lutheran satires. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it's called, but just do a Google search for Lutheran satire and modalism, and I'll probably back. Anyway, so this is a great session to kind of, especially for your older kids, the younger kids, maybe not, preschoolers, doubtful.
Yeah.
But if you go there, I tip my cap to you.
Yeah.
And but this is a great passage for the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else, Karen, that was
I think we got it covered, Brian.
Good stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. Love your input, for especially for those preschool leaders.
Yeah,
so thank you for listening to today's episode. If you have found this helpful, Let me redo that. Because I have in here, thank you for this, the episode or podcast, and I'm thinking, oh, I can't say that, and then my mind.
Gosh, okay. But you were rocking it, though. I didn't hear the podcast, yeah.
So thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope that you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. For more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.